This is the Levels Network. I'm Justin Hall, joined by the Triple OG, Woodman Mason. Round three is in the books, OG.
It's gone quick, hasn't it?
Yeah, we're getting into the season, aren't we? Well, I think we're starting to develop some form lines.
Yeah.
That's
for
sure.
We know he's pretty ordinary. We know he's middle of the pack and the top four.
Speaking of form lines, mate, want to give a big shout out and massive thanks to our partners Tab and Sky Racing for heading out to Golden Slipper, heading out to Rose Hill for Golden Slipper Day. And we got some jam. You hit the winner for the Golden Slipper.
So you're welcome, Tab. I didn't even know because I remember they said Lady Camelot.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I had obviously
Ben or Emma give us that on the preview?
I think Ben said it. That's what stuck in my head and I'm like, definitely not going to go
fully lit.
But I'm like, that Camelot one, because I wanted good value.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
So, I got it. And I wasn't even watching the race. I was watching a little bit. I was having a chat with the guy. I went, yes.
We got it.
So, yeah, I ended up winning.
Unfortunately, I didn't with Switzerland. It was still a great day. I was going all right until we started dropping my tips. There's like a bad karma around putting your tips out and like putting it into the universe. Wherever you do, it doesn't work.
So I wasn't even going to put a bet on. Yeah. So I went, it's the big one.
You're not a big punter. So no, you only do the main races, don't you?
Yeah.
So shout out again to our partners, Tab and Sky.
Great day.
Speaking of our partners, Tab, we've got a quick recap, Mace. I did awful round three. Really good, obviously, the first couple of rounds to start the year. But currently in the negative, my only hits this week were the Tigers plus 11.5, who look really good. Dream Buller at $3.75 was my only anytime try scorer. And the Knights just scraped home by half a point, minus 1.5. All the other results, no good. Don't worry about the try score. Oh, Tarpany was very close. He got a try disallowed, which we'll talk about. And even though I had him.
He took South with
So Broncos plus 10.5. No, that was done as soon as Walshy was done. Raiders plus 7.5. Missed that by half a point. Souths completely missed that. We'll get into that. It's one of the biggest stories. Titans 1.5. Missed that. Dragons plus 6.5. I thought I was traveling 20 minutes into that game. And then somehow still got blown out. And Manly plus 1.5. I want to break down the refereeing in that game, mate, because I thought it was very favourable to the Parramatta Eels, and we'll break down the obstruction rule with Reardon's head. So the outlay for the first 3 weeks is $480. The kitty is $4,385. So I go from a $42 profit to a minus $42.50.
Your South one killed you.
Yes. It was a bad week across the board, mate. As always, we want everyone to be playing safe during this footy season, so please keep front of mind what are you really gambling with. And if you need free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858. We are heading up to the Hunter Valley, mate.
Yes.
We've got a golf day coming up on April the 26th. So just before Lukey has his fight up in Gold Coast, we'll be at the Hunter Valley.
Cypress Lakes, is it?
No, we are at Ridges Resort at Hunter Valley. That's where we'll be staying. They've also got a golf course there. And this is for a great cause, mate. This is the Red Nose Golf Charity Day.
Oh, awesome.
Hosted by Cooper Harris and the team. So there are currently four teams still available. Me and you are part of a team of 25. There'll be 25 groups. There are four.
Right. Wow.
Me and you will be with Cooper and his gang. To get tickets for the final four teams, you can message the Facebook page at Paige Harris Electrical, or you can message Cooper directly on 0439-270-066. I'll get Lukey to put that in the bio as well for anyone who wants to chase that up. Me and you will also be doing the auction after as well. We'll be handing out this whole heap of prizes, and it's for a great cause. Hunter region, that's where you do your best work, OG. So right, Novocastrians.
Going back home.
If you're from Toronto West, Novocastrians or even the Central, or even Sydney, if you want to make a day of it, we've got rooms. We've got a room at the Ridges as well. So we're gonna enjoy ourselves, have a couple of schooners throughout the day and have a good day.
Little heads up, awful golfer, but I'm good off the course.
I'm on fire at the moment, mate. We'll be together. So yeah. it'll be a best ball format. Can use my ball for the most part, mate, and we'll go from there. I'm feeling good at the moment. I'm striking them well. We want to everyone who's been following us will know subscriptions. Jump on whether that's YouTube, Instagram, TikTok for follows, or you can subscribe on Apple and Spotify or leave us a podcast review. They all help out. And that's how we build out our show for those who just listening for the first time, because we continually just keep getting all those new listeners all the time, Mace. Let's get into footy, mate.
Yeah, let's go.
And our Dogs of the Week are brought to you, obviously, from our partners, BSC. So a massive thanks to BSC. Have you tried their latest energy drinks? It's the ultimate solution for boosting focus and mental performance, which our Dogs of the Weeks well and truly have before they go out there and put on a performance. It's got 160 milligrams of caffeine. There's no sugar, no carbs, and it's has to test it because, like I said, all of our athletes that we enjoy watching week to week out there in the NRL going head to head, they're all pumping the BSC energy drinks, mate. So without further ado, your BSC Dog of the Week
Dog of the Week. Mine's Appy Coruscant. I looked at every game. I watched every single game. I usually go for, you know, middle forwards, the locks and all that kind of stuff. I was just like, what he did. I mean, like, that. Everyone's sort of doubting Benji, doubting the Tigers.
Correct.
And Cronulla are that team. Mm. They've won their first two games. They won over against the Warriors. They've beaten us. He went on there. Without Appy Coruscant, they don't win.
I agree.
The control around the ruck, his little try to Ollum, slinking through, but his deception around the ruck. When he's on, he's easily the best nine in the game. Him and Harry Grant. Very, very even.
The no-looker for no-looker,
that was unbelievable.
He does that better than probably anyone that I've seen ever in any position.
Skill set is very high. 12 runs, 76 metres, 2 line break assists, 2 tries, 3 tackle breaks and 42 tackles. And I think he had gastro all week. So he's feeling like shit. And he only played, 65 minutes?
65. They gave him a spell. I don't know if you've seen the post-match presser. Did you see the post-match presser? So basically Benji talked about it.
I don't watch the depressors.
Yeah, I love the depressors. But I love seeing Benji. I watched Benji's presser last week. I thought he was impressive. But on this one, I'd watched it and he was, mate, you should have seen him. He was that dejected and you could see he was struggling. Benji said he was being modest because he tried to play it down.
Yeah.
That's what a really good skipper does. But Benji basically said he shouldn't have played. And he got a spell at the end just because they'd got to a lead and Benji gave him a rest. But
then he does that. Like, how good is that from a player? Like, he shouldn't have played and then he still dishes that out.
Yeah, for sure.
That's how good he is.
Well, he was my Dog of the Week until you took him.
Yeah.
So that shows that we were both on the same page with that. There was a couple of guys that were very close.
Victor Radley was close, but then I look at South and I'm like, they ain't it.
Well, yeah, he was dominant and he stepped up for his big boy and his 300.
And he's going against, Cam Murray as well. So they usually go at it because I reckon there's a couple of the best locks in the world at the moment.
And Cam Murray's the only one who can hold his head high at the moment in that club.
Yeah, but that forward pack, I don't rate it as good as Cronulla.
Mm. Yep. All right, well, my body science BSC, Dog of the Week, Viliami Kikau.
It's Fijian. They're all Fijians. Yes. Dominating the Dog of the Week.
Yeah, it is too.
Yeah, the Bullers.
Yeah, the Bullers on Multicultural Week. How good is that? 15 carries for 122 metres. Not bad. Kix has got that in the bag. He can average that. That's kitty for him. 55 post contact meters. I want them to really want to highlight those meters because at the moment, how this team is constructed, and we'll get into it when we review the game. At the moment, they're throwing him the ball a lot of the time to set a line, and he's getting a lot of. Even though it's early ball, it's a lot of shit carries and basically they want him to get momentum.
Yep.
So they're throwing it to him. He's getting 2 to 3 people in and he's just trying to find his way to get a quick play to ball so they can have some joy on the right, which we'll talk about in the review. He also had a line break assist, 3 offloads, 16 tackles and 4 misses. The reason I've highlighted the 4 misses is because all misses aren't the same. So his misses are different.
That when he missed the tap? When he tried to kill that bloke?
When he misses, he is striking fear into the opposition. It's not like he didn't have any of the misses where he's getting dusted by good shape, he's getting dusted by good footwork. He was going after it, mate, and honestly, he completely spooked Tanner Boyd. Poor Tanner Boyd, that could be the last game he plays for the rest of the year
off
the back of this. He wanted nothing to do with kicks. He obviously got the charge down, which led to his try.
And he just dropped the cold.
He just stopped on a couple of plays because he was just shitting himself. So, like I said, not all missed tackles are the same. And he missed a couple where he shot out of line, and it wasn't only Tanner Boyd. It was a couple of outside backs
that were
running apprehensively, is the nicest way to put it that way.
Yeah, Tanner Boyd, a little bit off.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely we'll talk a little bit more about the game and specifically Tanner Boyd moving forward. Jeez. There are a couple of halfbacks that have been dropped to New South Wales Cup. It's not a bad location for a halfback. It's definitely a position of need for the Titans. It's not just this one game now, and I don't mean to pile down on Tanner Boyd, but I've been saying this for a while now. Yeah. When we get into the games, we'll start looking at, you know, some of these players that aren't playing first grade, specifically, you know, Jackson Hastings, Lachie Ilias, players like that. Tanner Boyd's playing first grade.
They're just in the wrong system. That's all it is.
A couple of those guys would look really good, I think, or go really well up in the Gold Coast. All right, mate, let's get to the YouTube questions. This one's from Gunners Elite. This is more of a statement. The way I see the Mantle situation, which we spoke about last week, across every sport across the world, we hear we don't want our athletes to be robots. They need to be more relatable. Yet as soon as someone speaks up, they are told to shut up. In the wise world, in the wise words of Kevin De Bruyne, let me talk.
Let me talk.
I don't know if you've seen that clip where he's trying to talk to a referee. He's alluding
soccer
to that.
Player, isn't he?
Kevin he's a soccer player, yeah. He's a gun for Man City.
Yeah,
I think it's a pretty fair statement. You know, like you can. It's like we mentioned last week. All the media platforms and podcasts and radio personalities and whatever it may be, they all want the access to the players. But when someone sort of speaks outside of what's the norm, there always seems to be a bit of backlash, whether it's with language, whether it's, you know, speaking on private conversations, whatever it may be. But we live in a different world now, and that's the beauty of what we do.
That's the thing. I mean,
it makes it a more
entertaining. What he said. Yep. Exactly what he said. We're sick of the athletes after games going, "Yeah, it was a great game," and, you know, full credit to the boys, all that sort of shit. They're still going to do that to Channel 9 because they know they can build their own platform.
Yep.
So you're going to get rubbish interviews from players now. The only exciting interview lately was Latrell's.
Yeah, Latrell.
He swore a little bit.
Cheese gives a pretty good interview.
Cheese does because he's a little bit of a character. But then
Victor Radley gives a good interview.
They get on Toby Rudolph, the Dolph. Yeah. The Dolph's all right.
Yeah.
He's been very good on
Yeah,
on
the
TV.
Dolph has
I
been
like
good.
Him.
Yeah, yeah.
Always have. But, like, they'll get on a podcast, right?
Yeah.
Where they're more relatable to us former players or wherever they get on Jam as one, James Graham's. And they're more comfortable because we've all bled on the field. We've all been through pre-seasons. So when you get all these questions, they're going to really open up to you. They're not going to open up. They know it's intimidating if you haven't done an interview before, right?
Correct.
And then Channel 9 goes, bang.
Yeah.
Come here. We need to talk to you. Triple M. Boom, boom. There's microphones everywhere. It gets a little bit intimidating for a young kid, especially if they're not media trained. I don't think clubs really media train their young kids anymore. Yeah, not as much as they should.
Yeah, yeah. I think definitely I agree with that. There should be more media training for kids.
So when you do
see
a Mansell come on there and then gets he's just answering a question. Let him talk. That's what a podcast is. He's not sitting there on Channel 9, the Footy Show or anything like that, getting asked those questions because they don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a different demographic. And you're right. Like when you, as a kid, you grow up watching whether it's Channel 9, KO Fox, whatever you do as a kid or even the radio station. So once you actually get to that moment, it's like, ooh. You get a little bit spooked, whereas podcasts, there's probably not the pressure because we've all got listeners and followers and all that sort of stuff. But I guess maybe for the young kids now, they're going to grow up watching podcasts and it's probably going to be more of a, oh, fuck, I'd love to do that one day. Just like as kids, I don't know, you're probably the same as me, Mace. Like I never got interviewed. Oh, have I told you about my one story where Joey interviewed me after my last game? I got man of the match, and it went straight to the news because the game went too long. So it never actually aired. But like as a kid, I grew up same thing, watching all the interviews and going, "Fuck, how good would that be?"
Yeah,
you know,
mad.
Like not only play NRL, but
getting the man of the match,
getting man
sort
of the
stuff.
Match, and get to chat after a game or whatever. And you got it every weekend.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's pressure that comes with that,
right?
It's
like Matt Utah. I remember him coming up.
Yeah.
We didn't let him talk for like a year.
Yeah, Fui refused to talk as well.
Fui pretended that he couldn't talk English. Fucking spoke fluent English.
He was
smart.
He was so
fresh
smart
all the time. Sonny Bill, we Well, you hit those guys from the media because they weren't ready for all that pressure. And Sonny Bill was Sonny Bill, man. Like, he was a god.
Yeah.
They still, like, they didn't really throw the camera straight at him. They just sort of let him learn his craft and how to speak better and all that kind of stuff, because you don't want to get on there. You just shit yourself if you're not a seasoned vet.
Yeah, there are some guys now, like, when you watch it, they still struggle. Like, 5 to 10 years into their career, like, don't want to name names and sort of point them out, but, like, I watch players and they're like, you can see that it doesn't – like, they're introverts. They might be introverts, yeah, right? It's – even though we grew up with strong personalities and happy having a chat, not everyone's like that. So each to their own. All right, mate, let's get into the footy. Nice and easy. We've got a few topics this week.
What about that other question?
Forgot the last question as well. This is from our UK followers. And
love the UK boys.
We've got heaps of UK followers. So been listening on my way home from work since you lads started Class Podcast. I have a question for Willie. Do you think Jamie Peacock would have done well in the NRL? Stevie G from Halifax, West Yorkshire, would make my week if I get a shout out. There you go, Stevie G.
Shout out, Barney.
Well, his name is on M. Barney.
Mr. Barney?
Mr. Barney.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, I think JP would have made it over here.
Yeah.
Like, I think he debuted, I think maybe late 90s. I think he was around that Super League sort of era. I think he would have nailed it over here because he's tough. He was big, mobile. You know, like even Fielden, he would have made it over here. There was a couple of Poms over in that era that would have really had a crack in the NRL. Moz was over here and he was playing. He was one of the best forwards.
Are they exact same era? Those guys,
same era,
basically close to it, aren't they?
Same era.
Yeah.
But because the money wasn't that much difference,
yeah,
they were just saying, "Why would I come over there?"
Yeah.
Now you're looking at like you're tripling whatever it is over in England here at the moment. If you're one of the best props in the game, you'd be heading over here.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these young kids like now, you're probably looking at trying to get to the NRL if you got that, because they're big, strong, mobile guys who can play big minutes. Like Fielden, he could play.
Yeah.
Skill set not that high, but bang through the middle, big minutes, everything like that. Same as Peacock.
There's plenty of spots for those sorts of players in the game right now.
Yeah, in the NRL, easily. You know what I mean?
And like, even back in the day, like it would have been even more suited as well.
Yeah, they would have easily they would have come over, bang. Same, because Morley was doing it.
Yeah.
Even though I thought Morley was a lot quicker, because he was a big bastard too when he was, his leg speed, he used to hit good with the ball. But yeah, JP was like that, and so was Fielden. There was a couple of players there. Andy Farrell.
Yeah.
All those guys are fucking big, man. Big, strong, mobile forwards.
I always thought.
With a skill set. Andy Farrell had a mad skill set.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, a great lock.
Yeah.
Back rower. Like, he's like.
I always thought that Kevin Sinfield was silky. He's a little bit different. He's a different make. He's more of a, would you say he's like a Travis Norton sort of lock?
Yeah, a bit more, not a banger like JP and
a bit more skill-based.
Yeah, way more skilled. Like, he was a genuine ball-playing lock. Like,
I think
Scotty
he played
Hill,
six a lot
like a
too.
Scotty Hill, like a Timo, who could play six, who could play 13.
Yes, yeah.
He was like that.
Yeah.
He would have come over here. He wouldn't have been as dominant.
I think he'd suit probably more this day and age.
Yeah, he would suit right now, not during the 2000s.
Yeah.
But I think JP, Fielden, Andy Farrell would have been over him and been successful because of Morley. I'll just go off what Morley was like. He was a fucking animal.
Yeah, we've had some good ones.
He was bad to play against. You know what the fuck was going on. And a cracking dude. And they're all cracking blokes.
Yeah.
That suit the lifestyle.
Yeah. All right, mate, let's get into the footy, eh? Panthers 34 defeat the Broncos 12. I wrote down that the Prince put on a display in the first 40 minutes to complement his last 20 minutes in the grand final against the same team. Different circumstances, different lineups. But my question to you, and I have a question for you for all the shows, this is what I'll do for the games moving forward. When you have a rivalry through competition in big games, does that give you extra motivation? So you talked about Adrian Morley there. I always feel like Nath's got a chip on his shoulder with teams that he plays in big games. So obviously, he put on a clinic against the Broncos in the first half. Always feel like the last couple of years, he's gone really good against Parramatta. Yeah. He really steps up against Parramatta. And for a couple of years there, it looked like he really wanted to assassinate the Melbourne Storm when you played them in the grand final.
He's got that in him, hasn't he?
He's got that dog in him. He's got that mentality in him.
He's very unassuming, doesn't he? He doesn't come out like he's always smiling in interviews and, you know, says the right things. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
Then he comes out and carves the shit out of you.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, he's got that real switch. When he goes out, you can see it in his eyes. He's all about business. And that on that Thursday night, Now we're nowhere near his level. No. Even though like Reynolds was out, Payne, Haas, Walsh.
And lose Walsh early.
That was awful, but he you still have to defend. You know, you're still an NRL, you're still an NRL team.
Yeah, you've still got to execute. Sometimes when things go, when teams lose players or the team's not as strong, you can get complacent. You can, you know, you look at a couple of results over the weekend. My biggest one is the Sharks. I thought the Sharks, and no, not discrediting the Tigers, but once they went up 6-0, I thought they sort of thought, you know,
it's happening again.
This is going to be easy. We're going to roll them. And it wasn't the case. So that's why I thought Nace performance so was so impressive. And I was listening to, it's funny you say that, I was listening to Matty John's show last night and they had Campbell Graham and Dry Arrow on.
Yeah.
And they asked him, and they're like, what's he like on the field? Is he like, does he sledge? Does he talk much? And they said, nah, like he's just all business. He basically, you can see him, he gets it like every now and again. I think certain games.
Him and Cody were going at it a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And Parramatta, I'm telling you, he loves playing para. I think he really respects
that.
Proper
rival game, but that Western Sydney game.
He respects the role because he's a real student of the game.
Mm.
Like you can tell that he is a footy head through and through. So he understands the importance of rivalries, and you know he loves his NFL and NBA as well. So you know, being a he's an Eagles fan, so he knows about the rivalries with the Cowboys, Giants, and all that.
He really
so
buys into it. He buys into it.
I think he takes the Parramatta ones personally as well.
And I think it's good that he does that because everybody follows him.
Yeah.
Right? Yohi and all the forwards. So if your seven is built like that, you know he's going to be on with those big games.
Mm.
Your Fish, Leota, Liam Martin, you're like, we've got to go at it.
It's easy to do the shit stuff when you know you got him.
Because the seven's going to execute everything. He's going to kick 40 20s, kick every single goal. He's going to set all the tries up.
Yeah.
Little kicks, going to get six to go. It's like, you know how hard that is like to execute everything that he does, right? Yeah. At this level right now.
Consistently.
Consistently. Get it. You try and get the ball now and get a repeat set.
Yeah.
Like, you know how hard that is?
It's as hard as
everyone's
it's ever
like,
been.
Everyone's trying to put their legs in the way. Everyone's trying to trap and scrap, put pressure on at the seven. There's no protectors now. No protectors now for the kicker.
Yeah,
ask Tanner
point.
Boyd.
Good point.
You know what I mean?
Good point. Yeah.
So he's always has that perfect depth. No one gets near him.
Yeah.
That's just so smart. His footy IQ is very smart.
Yeah.
He can't stay in the way anymore. Like, he's, but still, no one gets to him.
Yeah, he's so good.
Knows when to kick. So when you've got a halfback like that, it's like Joey in Newcastle, you would go to the end of the earth for that kid.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
Because you know physically he's going to take his licks for you too.
Yep. He doesn't miss tackles. He puts his body in front of back rolls who are 20 kilos heavier than him. Mm. Leads kick chases when he has to.
Yep.
He does all those things that great sevens do. JT was doing it. Joey was doing it. That's what they do. And then they get everybody to fall in line and go as hard as they can.
Yeah, you're right.
Without it's saying
good point,
much.
Really good point.
Without saying that much.
Yeah, you don't have to
JT
say
that. Wasn't saying that much. Joey was a fucking, you know, get down there cracking the whip at everyone because he would lead the way all the time.
Yeah.
JT was a little bit different. They're all a little bit different.
They lead with their actions.
Their actions is the main thing.
Yeah. You know the beauty and they're sort of turning into the Melbourne Storm that we played against during our era. Yeah. When you have a weakness – Melbourne for a lot of the time for many years were the best at exposing weaknesses.
Yep.
Now back to back weeks, they have had a positional change in the opposition, and Isaac Tonga has been the beneficiary. Jeez. So he obviously rinsed the left edge for the Parramatta Eels last week, who were brave and that form line looks really good now.
Yeah.
Absolutely rinsed the left edge. Isaac Tungal, he gets a payday and he's almost paying it back in two games straight off the bat. But the beauty of Penrith right now is they were killing him in the right edge. So Kevy, and give some credit to Kevy, made a coaching change. He moved Piakura back into the back row. Katoni Staggs comes from the right to the left. Jordan Rickey went to right centre. And then they made a change to Jordan Rickey's spot. What did Penrith do? Nath had already done his damage in the first half. They went, all right, we're going to attack you on the left. Fucking Brian Toto scores two tries in the second half on the left.
Is the best centre in the game at the moment.
Ooh, I had that question coming up a little bit later on. So with
I don't know. Like I just looked at that game and went, where the fuck has this come from?
Well, let me throw out some centres because this is gross that you said this. I had it for the next game. Matty Timocall. I think he's He's on the radar,
there's
right?
One and two. Form-wise for three rounds. Well, there's your two.
I've got some other names. Joseph Manu, Stephen Crichton, Herbie Farnworth. Because Crichton and Farnworth might be a product of, you know, they've gone to teams that aren't as strong. Isaac Tungal, and Kutoni Staggs, again, the Broncos haven't started well, but at his best.
Yeah, he's a dog.
And speaking of best, Bradman, there are some fucking good centers in the competition great right centers. Now.
And he's my man at the moment.
He's your guy?
He's my guy.
Yeah.
Because defensively, he was nearly my dog of the week from the centers. You know, I never pick backs.
Yeah.
That's how good he was.
Yeah.
Because what he was doing in defense, he was chasing down. Who did he chase down? AJ?
What do you mean, Alex Johnson?
No.
Because they played Broncos. No.
Who did he
Sel
play?
And Cobbo.
Sel and Cobbo.
Yeah. Sel and Cobbo.
Chase him down, like, easily.
Did it? Was it off a kick return? Yeah, it was off a kick return. But he should, catch,
like, you'd expect Selwyn to go all the way.
Yeah.
He turned chase. It was like a 50-meter chase. Things like that get me. I love that sort of shit.
Yeah.
And he's smoking anyone who comes near him.
Man, he's so physical. He's an ex-back rower. Joey was talking. He played back row coming through the grades, and then they moved him out to the centers.
It's very rare, isn't it?
Joey said, yeah, it's normally the other way around, right? Right. Joey said in the call, I was listening to it on Channel 9, and he tossed up, like, he could be a smoky for Origin as well because he's got that versatility. If you don't pick him on in the centers or on the wing potentially, 14. He can play 14 because he's got that experience playing back row as well.
He played back row.
Mm.
That's why he's a defender. That's why he defends so good.
He's a beast, man.
Fuck.
He's a beast.
He was good last year, right?
He was good.
He was really good.
He
but
was
because
good.
You got a guy called Critter over the other side.
Critter was so clutch in big moments
over
his 2 years in NRL that you sort of – Isaac Tungal was – his best game was against the Melbourne Storm, I feel like, when a couple of players were missing last year, and I was like, all right, he's ready to go to the next level. And then remember he had a sternum injury at the back end? Or
and he started missing some tackles.
He had some injury – he had some sort of shoulder injury issue. And apparently he's one of those modern day players as well where he's like the new age and like he doesn't have he doesn't have any medicine and stuff like that. What's that called?
Holistic?
Holistic. Yeah, he's got a holistic approach to his rehab.
To rehab.
Yeah. So he's not a big
when you need an operation, you go get it, kid.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. He should have had some surgery, but he.
Because remember, there was a couple of times where he started missing tackles.
Yeah,
crucial tackles
right at the back end of the season.
Yeah, because he's and he ended up playing the grand final with a busted sternum or something like that.
Yeah,
really. Yeah,
it was like a pack shoulder. Someone will let us know. We just started spitballing there, so don't hammer us. How about the rest of the outside backs? Dylan Edwards ran for 309 meters. And just in case you thought he needed a little bit of help, Brian Toto chipped in for 263 as well.
We're desensitized to how good Toto is.
And Dylan Edwards.
Yeah, but like 263, I didn't know he ran that far.
Yeah, same with Dylan, though. Yeah. Did you watch that game and go, Dylan Edwards and Brian Toto ran for that?
I'm thinking they might get 150.
Max. I was the same. And I started looking for the stats.
I would have thought Dylan Edwards ran 309. God, he's a machine. God damn. That's crazy.
Those are crazy.
What a machine.
100 post-contact meters, for both of them as well. So
there's
a player I like that's coming off the bench who's got that dog in him. At the start of the year, we'll sort of trying to figure out who was going to replace Spencer Lenu. This Liam Henry's got a bit of dog about him. He's got a bit of Liam Martin about him.
He wants to hit.
He wants to hurt, doesn't he?
Yes. I can tell when he gets on, he plays in the middle, which is good.
Yep.
And he stiffens it right up.
He does.
He's just one of those kids, comes off. Just say if you're a vet and you're playing against him, you go, oh, fuck, who's Liam Henry? You run at him and you find out.
Yeah.
A little bit of footwork at him. He doesn't care. He times really well. He hit a couple of people in the middle that fucking lined him straight up.
And you know,
went straight through him.
He had this real sinister smile on his face. There was one time where he licked someone. And he's like smiling about it. And it was just subtle. It wasn't like to him. You could tell he was happy with himself. He loves it. Yeah. I think he's a player. You've got Lindsay Smith who looks.
He looked good.
He looks more suited as a starter, but you've just got two of the best front rowers probably of our generation in front of him. But Lindsay Smith probably looks like a better starter because he was really good. And then you've got Liam Henry. Both those guys coming off the bench together, they're a problem. Penrith are going to be Penrith.
Jeez.
They're favourites for a reason. To go back to back to back. Imagine if they win four in a row, mate.
Big chance, man.
We talked about Taylor May a little bit. Congrats to Taylor. He just re-signed another 2 years at Penrith. So we'll talk about Terrell a little bit after this as well and where that leaves him. But your thoughts on the hit on Walsh?
I think it's been a little bit like trying to control the narrative of like he should be suspended and all that kind of shit because Walsh is out for 4 to 6 weeks, which sucks. But this sport's a collision sport.
I agree.
It ain't fucking golf or tennis.
Yep.
You know, like things like this happen. Pretty sure like he didn't want to do that to Walsh.
No. Yeah, oh, he's trying to be aggressive, for sure.
Self-preservation for his body. He was trying to be aggressive. Like, that could have been one of the worst head clashes since Wendell and Mitchie Barnett. Remember, not Mitch Barnett, Richie Barnett.
Richie Barnett.
Caved his whole face in, had to get a whole facial reconstruction.
I vaguely remember that.
Back in like 96, 97.
Did Richie Barnett wear like a mask or something?
Yeah, Richie Barnett, that was in his prime, right?
Yeah. Richie Barnett was a gun too.
Big Dell's head's concrete.
Yeah.
It could have been something like that because he didn't dip or anything. He just was going straight for his face. And I was just like, sort of kid, just dip a little bit.
Yeah. He ain't got no self-preservation for himself as well.
And I'm like, wow, that could have been so ugly. I felt sorry for Walsh because like he's just he's trying to make a play.
Mm.
Didn't expect that.
It was the end of the game when that happened. Broncos were it was going to be tough for the Broncos regardless. Once they lose Walshy, they were done.
That was early, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah,
it was
early.
Like the first 5 minutes of the game.
First, second play, yeah. And then it was like done. Yeah, yeah. So this is a rugby league play.
I agree.
It's not a good play. Not a good play for Walsh. Yep. If he had got out of it, no one's talking about it. But this is a collision sport. This is what happens.
I'm with you. So people were bringing up the contact that Dale Finucane made on Stephen Crichton a couple of years ago. Dale Finucane ended up getting suspended for that. I think he believed he got 2 games. Lukey, can you look up Dale Finucane hit on Stephen Crichton for us and see? I know he definitely – there was a penalty for it, same thing, and then he got put on report. I'm pretty sure Finucane got a couple of games, and I disagreed with that at the time. So one was against Penrith and the other one was for Penrith, and I want to stay consistent on both hits. It was a rugby league hit. It was we play a collision sport,
man.
And that's just a part of it sometimes. Lukey is getting so
it just sucks that they're going to miss the game's going to miss Walsh for 4 to 6 weeks because the kid was on a tear.
All right, here we go. Lukey's chucked it in here. I'm just getting it up now. So Finucane to fight Ban over Crichton tackle. So this is just, the report. He ended up getting a ban, Lukey.
He got 2 weeks, didn't he?
I think he got 2 weeks. So there'll probably be another article made after the fact.
Well, he's got everything.
Because that was him fighting the charge. But if you end up finding an article where the result of 3 weeks he got. So Lukey said he got 3 weeks for it. There you go.
The NRL have cleared it.
They've
cleared this one.
Okay, sweet.
So stop fucking whinging, everyone.
All right, sweet.
The Telegraph were trying. I wrote something on their little page. Said this is a collision sport.
Yeah.
It's not golf. It's not tennis. It's a fucking man's game. You sign up for that shit. It's a shame that Walsh is out for that long because I love watching that kid play.
Yep.
And it could have been way worse for both of these guys, man. Just no self-preservation. Try to make a play. Head's just gotten the wrong way. That's what happens. Sometimes that's what happens.
That's the
worst case scenario.
Yeah.
How many times do you see centers come out of the line like that? Bang. He just didn't dip. He just kept going straight. He just tried to go straight through him.
Yeah.
Fuck, sucks. But it is what it is.
It does suck. It sucks for the Broncos.
Oh, it's awful.
The Broncos, with no Reynolds, no Payne Haas, and now Reece Walsh, they play the Cowboys next week and the Storm after that. They could potentially be one from
heard there's an SOS out for TPJ.
Oh, DeVita.
He could be – I know he had his fight on the weekend. He won. Congratulations, DeVita.
Shout out to TPJ. Does he have one more fight coming
up? I know that
he
wanted to get that fight out of the way and then he'd assess everything.
Okay.
So I think he might have – he's still playing for South Logan.
He's playing Queensland Cup, isn't he?
Yeah. Looks good. Looks fit.
Mm. Boxing keeps you fit. Boxing's the best training.
Would not be surprised if he has a Broncos jersey on in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. There we go. There's some OG male potentially there.
Reading what he's said in the paper.
He
want to get my fight out of the way. He looks mint. Yep. He knocked the shit out of this bloke. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Mad left hook.
Yeah.
He's the only bloke. He's left-handed, but he fights southpaw. So that left hook, what he leads with, that's his strongest hand, but it's his jab hand.
So no, he doesn't fight south. So he doesn't fight southpaw, but he's left-handed.
Yeah,
yeah, because southpaw.
So So he leads with his left.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a lead. So that lead hook is his fucking best punch.
Are you giving away some information for other boxers?
But he can bang it with a right as well. It's weird. It's like Oscar De La Hoya was like that as well.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
A few weird ones.
Yeah, that's dangerous if your lead hand is the one that's your most powerful.
Especially if you haven't done your homework. like the one that he had a fight with.
Yeah.
Bang. And the one that he had a fight with before Sonny's one. Fucking same. Left hook. How many left hooks did he get him?
It's he looks he's a beast. You can see just like, and we're no boxing experts, are we?
No, no.
But his movements just look like when we watch boxing.
Yeah.
Like when you watch boxers, he is one. I think Junior Barlow is another one, and obviously
Junior's a good
Gail.
Mover, man. Gail's
even though
good.
Even though Gail wasn't like
Gail's tough, he's a tough
technically bloke. Sound or like look like the perfect boxer. He was just so fucking super
he's
tough.
An animal, Gail,
he was
man.
Made for the ring. I thought a really good performance was Selwyn Cobbo, who moved to fullback. And if you're looking at the
real
Brisbane
deal.
Broncos, they've signed a whole heap of players moving forward. They've got him playing in the centres, and he looks like he could slot in and play fullback for a couple of teams.
Easy.
Teams would come knocking.
It's still impressive, but I think they're just – it's evened out. They're not going to be as dominant as they were. If they had Payne, Haas and Reynolds and Walsh, I'd be like, yeah, I'm still thinking a team, a top team like a Penrith will get you anyway.
Yeah.
Because of the fact the Flegler –
they were missing Fisher-Harris as well. Yeah,
you know
it doesn't
mean?
Help
like,
that
it's
they're
just like those
four
guys
starters.
Are world-class players.
Yeah. All right, mate, on Friday night, the first game, the Warriors 18, they get their first win of the season. They beat the Raiders 10. It was a low-scoring dogfight, which we expected from these two teams. With the Knights and the Rabbitohs next up, are the Waz officially back?
Yeah.
Are you convinced with that performance?
Yeah, I am. The first 20 was still good. They went off for a little bit. Canberra comes back, and then they sealed the deal.
Yeah.
It was good, man. God, Fanua Blake's fucking awesome, isn't he?
Yeah.
God, that light, that shift that they have to the right, when they get it properly, if they do it exactly how they do it,
yeah,
it's unstoppable. Because of the fact, like, have a look how they read. They didn't know Fanua Blake was going to get the ball.
Nah.
He just runs it because he's a big mobile, smart human being. He knows exactly what lines to run. And, like, and Eshay knows exactly who to hit.
Does he have the best footwork for a front rower that we've probably ever seen?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying he's the best front rower of the all time.
No.
I'm not saying he has the best carry of all time. I'm not saying he has the best pass of all time.
No.
But soft, late feet.
His late footwork is dangerous because it goes from shoulder tackles to arm tackles, and that's how he gets his offloads and his line breaks. Look how thick he is, man.
You know what his thickness and footwork remind me of? Like Roy Azatazi in his prime. Like, and that's big rap because same thing with Raza. You had such a good pack.
Yeah.
You're a bit different. You're a front row, second row hybrid.
Yeah.
So I don't put second row hybrids in it. Like,
yeah, Raza just
Straight out props and Adams and a prop.
Damn.
Tino's got fairly good,
good footwork
as well, but
it's late and it's through you.
It goes
that's
straight.
That's the prop. That's
that's
the difference.
That's the
if someone changes their momentum, they'll step to the side. He steps straight through you, and he will go straight. If you don't put a decent hit on him, he's through. He's got an offload, or he'll clean line break.
You know, this is how dangerous he is. He now has a signature try celebration.
What does he do?
He gets in and looks around.
He looks around.
He scores.
Does he do that all the time?
He scores that much
now. Put it down, kid.
He runs through because he gets through untouched.
So easy. He's like.
It's either off Sean Johnson on
the
little. He is.
I think the week before he went.
He runs through and he just goes nonchalantly.
What?
Where is everyone?
I love it. He's best. He's probably top three prop in the game.
Well, like to be a front row and have a try celebration is crazy.
Love it.
And it's a try celebration before you put it down.
And it's very humiliating.
It's humiliating.
If you're a middle.
Defender.
But that shape that they're getting on that right side.
Yep.
Unstoppable. It's block for block for block.
Yeah.
And then you just got to pick whatever shape, whatever cues. If someone's rushing up, if someone's sitting back, putting his shoulders out.
You know who they'll target him, mate? They're targeting Ethan Strange.
Yeah.
So the first couple of weeks.
Still good too.
Yeah. So the first couple of weeks, and it's not because he's a spot, it's because he's an aggressive C. I was going to say it then, but I pulled back. See, we're better.
Good.
We're getting better.
It's good. We're learning.
But I love it a lot because I love Ethan Strange. He's got some really positive things in his game that I like about him. He looks like a Canberra Raider for life, by the way. But because he's so aggressive, he makes really strong decisions. All their shape was around lead runners inside. So Strange goes in and bites heavily on Kurt Capewell, and then that's where it sort of left. Who was playing left? Was it Albert Hopewadi? Sort of no man's land because they still had shape out the back of it. And then they get him a little bit later on with shape, and they don't quite finish it, but it was, again, targeted around Ethan
so
Strange.
So many options off that triple block play.
Yeah, variations.
Yeah, because every team's trying to run it now. It's on the other side of the post. As you break it down right on that inside line.
Yep.
And it's the lead block. So if you're not checking on the lead block, first of all, at marker and A, you get Fanua Blake running through you. Or the other prop. So obviously the other prop, Mitchie Barnett, was running that line and he's out the back that time. But you've got to account for everybody.
right? Because they've got the fullback, center, and wing out the back as well.
Everyone's
so if
an
you're
option.
A center, yeah.
So if you've got a decent nine, he's going to hit your front guy if you don't account for the lead. Then out the back, and then that other lead, and then out the back, and then another lead. So, like, just say if your winger jams in,
yeah,
SJ's going straight over the top.
Yeah.
But we'll get to Dylan Brown. That's sort of shape as well.
Yeah,
you
want to
come in nowhere, straight over your head. And the winger's tucked in a little bit,
yeah,
and then they fan right out. So they think it's just right on. Like, who was the winger there when Lomax got done on the weekend?
Yep.
Just a little bit. He was tucked right in. He was opposite him there, and the next minute when the ball's in the air, he's there.
No one will expose you better than Drinky as well, eh?
Ooh.
Yeah. We'll get to that game.
Yeah.
Speaking of out the back, there was a change that was made due to – and he's been really good too, Tuopiki. Tane Tuopiki has been really impressive in the first three games. But they needed some spark, and when he went off, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. He goes all right too, mate, by the way. They move him to fullback. Apparently, Chance Nickel-Klokstad is really close.
What is wrong with him? So what's wrong with, when did he injure himself?
I'm not too sure. It was in the preseason. Yeah. He's been injured for a while now. So he didn't play any of the trials, and he's still got a couple of weeks left. I seen him training with the group on their socials a couple of weeks ago, really pumping him up before the Melbourne game. If Chance isn't back this week, do you think we see RTS move back to fullback, which they were reluctant to do, and Adam Pompey comes back in the team, or you think they give this Tuopiki another shot?
I think Tuopiki isn't doing – he's not that bad for him. Mm. He's all right.
Yeah, so you're happy to keep it as is and then just wait for a chance?
Because of the defensive system they have and how good a defender RTS is.
Yeah. Okay, good. I agree.
And he's so dangerous with the ball
as
well. So when they get that shape out near his way, he's just as dangerous as well.
Mm.
Of course he's a gun fullback, but you want to develop this young kid to a picky as well.
Yes.
You know, and don't lose confidence in him. He hasn't done anything wrong.
No, he hasn't.
He's just not RTS. Or Nickel-Klokstad, they're guns.
So you can still have your strikeout.
You can still have him in there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's been the fault for any of their games. He's not dropping balls. He's not getting ragdolled. He's strong enough. He's doing the right plays.
He goes after it. He's competitive.
He goes after it. Why'd he go off?
HIA.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah. I think I believe he got cleared in the end. He's gone off, but he's gone off twice. He's only a small body. That's the thing that's the difference. That's, and then when you got Roger at the back, it's just a different, thicker body coming at you. The try which sealed the game was if Roger's playing centres, he just doesn't score that try because it's in the middle of the field off the back of the sweep.
That's what might get him out of the team.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he's so dangerous, Roger.
I've just got some stats here for the skipper. Tahu Harris, 80 minutes in the middle, 17 for 130 and 50 tackles. That's a proper captain's knock, isn't it? Raiders, the Raiders nearly went up by 10 when Tarpany try was disallowed. I obviously had him anytime try scorer at $9. And I was furious, but I agree with the decision. I don't like the rule, but it's probably something that you're going to only see every couple of years anyway, so I don't think it was a major issue.
Run me by that one again.
So it was a tap back from Jordan Rapiner, Joseph Tarpany and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
Oh, yes.
They connect at the exact same
that
time.
Is...
There was no separation. Tarps rips it, but because he doesn't have control before it goes into Roger, it is the rule.
It is the rule. God, yep. I hate these rules.
Yeah.
You would have hated that rule.
I did hate the rule, but again, I believe it was the right decision for the rules, and it's just one of those things that, like I said, I don't think you're only going to see it every couple of
years. I didn't even have a bet on it. I thought it was a try.
Yeah.
Just because there wasn't that much separation. I thought he just went, my ball.
That's a rugby league try. If you're watching it without any of the bunker and the rules, then you're looking at the gun. That's a rugby league try, but not to be. I want to give a shout out to Xavier Savage. Although they lost this game and offensively he didn't do too much, his try saver on Adam Fanua Blake. And it's just another example, and we talked about this at the start of the year, Mace. Sticky has a track record of these younger players who have so much potential. They just get a reality check from him. So last year it was Xavier Savage. First three games, super impressive.
Mm.
3 years ago, he looked like to be the X factor. It's all in his name. Yep. He gets put back to reserve grade.
That's why Nickel-Klokstad was let go because of Xavier Savage.
Correct. And then you have guys like Corey Horsbrough, spent a lot of time in New South Wales Cup. Hudson Young. Joseph Tarpany was dropped for a period there.
That
Sticky.
Changed his whole trajectory to be one of the best props in the game.
He always seems to get the best out of these guys with a little bit of, hey, you're young, you're coming through, you've got big potential, but... There you go. Go play a little bit of New South Wales.
That's what I love about him.
Yeah.
That's what I love about him because he gets the best. Because you know why? You want He's like, he's got that Wayne Bennett sort of aura. Like you want to play good for him.
You want to impress him.
Don't want Ricky mad at you. Because it's like your dad.
Yeah.
Wayne's like your granddad now. Sticky's still your fucking angry dad on the sideline. Yeah, yeah, you don't want to let him down.
Yeah.
So these young players have such a love for Ricky, right?
Mm.
That's why he gets the best out of him. Mm. As I said, like Ricky was one of my best coaches. I played some of the best football, best tests and origins underneath him.
For those who missed it, he was in Mason's Mount Rushmore. So that's Mason's Mount Rushmore.
So it's just like, because I know what he's like and he's passionate and he gives everything and it's personal for him, right? Mm. He's not dropping you because he don't like you.
Mm.
Dropping you to teach you a life lesson, right? You're not that good. You're not killing it. You're not this. You're not that. Like he's
got to work hard.
Like Tarpanay, he went down there after Newcastle, was killing it for a year.
Yep.
Then he fell off a little bit. He goes, fucking go back to reserve grade.
Yeah.
He did that to Big Papa.
Yep.
He did that to Big Papa about 3 or 4 years ago because they were off a little bit. And then Big Papa come back playing for Australia and playing for Queensland.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So he knows which people to do it to as well. The personalities he knows. If I do this to Tarpanay or Big Papa, they're going to be back and better.
It says a lot about the belief he has in his – because, like, people talk about culture and making tough decisions. When you actually make tough decisions like this and you take your licks because you're going to lose games. Like, these players that we named are solid players who could potentially lose lead to losing games, but it's more about the locker room. The locker room sees it and goes, all right, if he's getting dropped with all the talent that he's got – then everyone's on notice.
Yeah. If you drop Big Papa, he already played 200 games for that club. 20 tests, 20 origins, all that kind of stuff, and you still do it to Papali'i. No one's safe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
and then you just
it's easy to say in practice, but when you actually
and you'll have these conversations like this man to man as well.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. Matty Tumekel, we talked about him. He was outstanding, one of the best centers in the game, which if you missed it, we talked about in the preview talking about Isaac Tungal. Geordie Raps, again, was in everything. I called this game here. It was my 2 points. He would have been 3 points if they won the game. He is an absolute beast.
I've never seen a player outside back, winger, especially the winger, hold so much energy to one team from Geordie Raps.
Yeah.
Whatever he, however hard he goes or whatever, they sort of go off his level. And he's always on.
Yeah.
Most of the time
he's on. He's getting better. Like we talked about Daly Cherry Evans last week at his age doing what he's doing. You're right. An outside back to be getting better when the speed slows down, the strength slows down.
And put him at fullback.
He doesn't look like he's super detailed with his preparation. He's got a bit of mutters about him too, Geordie Ruffs, which I love as well.
He's
a fucking rugby league player. The greatest compliment you can give to a player, I reckon, is he's a fucking rugby league player.
Where did Matty Tumekel come from? Where the fuck did they find him?
I think
he just rolling around in Canberra or they get him from New Zealand?
Yeah, it would have been from New Zealand. He played for the Kiwis already.
Yeah, I know that. There's a lot of Aussie-born Kiwis, you know what I mean?
But he must at least had a decent stint over there. Like, must at least grown up there because you know how the age.
Aussie-born Kiwis, like Kiwis that, you know, but grew up here.
Yeah. You know how the age difference is and they can play for Origin. So he must have been over in New Zealand from at least before 15.
So they've recruited him.
Yeah. They've done a good job. He's strong, man. He is a weapon.
But it's not just his attack. Defensively, no one's getting around him.
No one. The way he ran over Marcelo Montoya, if you haven't seen it, no one does that to Montoya. No. Montoya's a solid defender.
He was there to hit him too.
He was. And he got him right off the back of the shape, so he had the clean shot on him.
And
he just goes bang.
He had to dip a little bit.
If he dipped,
he would have got him straight under the ball.
There's a common theme here. Dip when you defend NRL players if you're watching this.
Dodgeball, you got to dip.
Speaking of dipping, some of the Rabbitohs players want to dip out of this game at Allianz Stadium. The Roosters 48 defeat the Rabbits 6. Let's start off with JWH. The Roosters honour JWH with a clinical performance. I found out that Mitchie Pearce presented his jersey from Connor Watson on radio on Saturday.
That's mad.
Says a lot about Jared.
Love you, Pearce.
Love you,
Juju. Get him on here and break some games.
Let's do it.
Love him.
Let's get him on the Chats and Footy. Where is JWH in your list of front rollers of all time? Where does he rate, Mace? I know you love him. He's one of your dogs.
He's up there. He's like Mount Rushmore's four props, right?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's pretty hard to put him on that. He's top 10. He's a top 10 prop.
Yeah. That's pretty close. It's pretty close to Mount Rushmore.
In the NRL era, especially from
who's a lot for Mount Rushmore? Lazo?
Yeah, Lazo's there. So you got to think in the NRL era, or do you go back in the 70s, 80s,
Let's just go NRL.
Back from NRL era.
Let's go NRL era 98.
Because if you look at Chief, He retired in 2000, so it's two. It's only so Chiefs 2 years, still in so there? He can't be in there if you're talking. If okay, you're talking, yeah, if you're talking NRL.
Well, Webke and Petro,
and
then.
Even like, but even Lazo,
yeah,
right. Lazo retired in 99.
Yeah, so let's go 98 era on.
Yeah, so you're then, probably not putting these guys.
Okay,
in there.
So Chief and Lazo are out can't because be in of there. That.
So you're talking Petro.
Yep.
Talking Webke.
Yep.
Who else has retired? I think. Shit, like Mark O'Mealy's up there for me.
Yourself and Ogre, Raz would
Roy
be thereabouts.
Roy Asitasi's there, like just
Jesse Bromwich.
Yeah, I'll just wait for them to retire.
Yeah, okay.
But the work's already done for those guys, like Jesse and J Dub.
Yeah,
they're not going to play much better football. They're just ending their career. Jesse Bromwich is up there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of someone else.
There'll be names
forgetting names, but like there's some absolute animals.
Adrian Morley.
Morley's there. But Moz? Morley's like, but he's like me, he's like a hybrid. Back row, front row. So
what about the hybrids? So Sammy Burgess comes into it as
Sammy
a hybrid.
Burgess is there.
James Graham would be
Sam
thereabouts.
Friday.
Sammy was more back row, I reckon.
Yeah.
I reckon I'll put Sammy more back row.
Some of those. Ruben Wickie.
Ruben Wickie's a good shout.
Ruben Wickie's fucking.
And he was so deep in the 90s as well to go all the way.
And he played till like
but he
2007
was basically,
or something.
Yeah, he's almost far like an out. Outside back through the 90s. And then by the time he got in the NRL, he was established as a front row.
He was a center in 94. And he's bashing everyone in the front row. I was like, can you? I remember when I was a young kid coming, I was like, fuck, Ruben Wickie just moved in the back row.
Yuck.
Stay out. Yeah, I think that's about it, really.
Yeah, there's some the other names we'll probably forget.
Names have just sort of come on there, but yeah, I think the Petros and Webkes, they're the front rows when I was playing, and I was sort of coming off the bench before starting. I was starting in the back row or front row.
Yeah.
Big Ogle was good. He was fucking good to play. Roy was fucking great. He was great. But J Dub and Bromwich, they'll be way up there.
They'll be there about
way up there.
Yeah. Teddy's back.
He's back. I'll tell you. I said it.
You said it before the season started.
I could see at the start of his trial game at Gosford. I'm like, he's going after
you. You caught it. You did call it.
Love it. And I love everything about what he's doing. Saying all the right things, but everyone's just looking at how he plays, man.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like scoring tries. He looks like he's having fun again. Beating South like that. That's massive for the Roosters.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah. That's unacceptable by the Rabbitohs, but also like – that's what you want
that was
for your
power.
Skipper for the Roosters.
But that was a powerful, powerful performance. J Dub at the start, like I think he banged out like 26, 27 minutes.
Yeah.
Set the tone. That was it. 18-0 when he went off. They were never going to lose that.
Yeah. They were never losing that game, to
but
be honest.
But just his efforts,
can't believe
right?
I had 3.5. Fucking hell. Yeah, his efforts.
His
right.
efforts with the ball, he just went at it.
A few loose ball recoveries, diving on shit.
As I said, like remember you were talking
little
about
things.
Highmarsh?
Yeah.
And I'm like, the difference is, you know, Highmarsh is not a front rower, right? He can't control the narrative, right?
Hindy was in the middle.
But he can't control the energy. He doesn't do it like J-Dub. He's not getting the first kickoff. He's not doing the first contact.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Where they look at him, he's their spiritual leader.
Yeah.
He's coming off the fucking back fence and then he's leading kick chases and then he's bashing people in defense. He's diving on loose balls. Mm. This was all in like 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
What do you think they're going to do? They're going to go exactly what he's doing. Lindsay Collins come off the back fence that first hit up.
Yeah.
I've never seen him run harder.
He also had better cattle around him rather than having me next to Hindy. He had fucking Radley and Lindsay Collins. So
yeah,
Hindy was more for his work ethic.
Yeah,
whereas Jared's obviously his physicality.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
His presence.
So when you're doing these big games like the 300th, you're just going to follow him.
Yeah.
You can't not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
We did bust our asses for you too.
And yeah, exactly. You don't have the Roosters.
I was playing
centers
too.
Team.
Oh, I think I got first try. Dom Young, he looks like a rooster.
Don't they miss him in Newcastle?
Fuck, big time.
Wow.
Big time. 170 meters, mate. 12 tackle breaks. I didn't even have 12 carries in a game, let alone 12 tackle breaks.
He looks hard when he's coming across the field, just like doing what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Then you just got Suoli'i, then you got Toops,
yep.
Joey Manu. That is a fucking – that's the best back five in the game.
Joey Manu, 6'2", is the – we mentioned it last week. He's the smallest out of all four of those big boys. They've got a presence, man. Joey's are looking physical and ready to go. Joseph Suoli'i is gone to another level.
Sandon Smith I was impressed with.
Yep.
Very impressed.
But they were on the front foot. Both halves looked really good.
That's probably the first time I've seen him play genuinely a six.
Yeah.
Like a starting six. Like he's always coming off the bench playing nine, given, you know, like I didn't know he was that good at a six. He just looked in control.
Yeah, he did.
Didn't look flustered. Got to his kicks. Gave the ball to the right people.
He compliments Sam probably a little bit better than what Kez does, doesn't he?
Yeah. Not a good thing for Kez.
Not a good thing, but also like if Kez plays in that role, they still win 48-6 anyway. Yeah. I think that was just the nature of the fucking the way the game played out. I want to see who they got. They've got a couple of big games probably coming up in the next couple of weeks. We'll see how much they're tested. And I thought Cheese was really one of
probably his best game.
Yeah, I thought that. I thought that. He looks like he's adapted a little bit better to the game, understanding his role. And when because he doesn't have Sandon Smith coming off the bench, who's going to take minutes out of him, it looked like he could build into the game a little bit more. Yep. Because Sam Walker goes down with a HIA.
Yeah.
So Connor Watson, who
fucking
was supposed
good
to,
on Connor Watson shout, too. Shout I didn't know he missed out 530 days of footy. He didn't play for that long.
No, one and a half years. No. He played.
That's what they said.
530 days? Is that how long he's been out for? No.
Never played. He hasn't played NRL.
That must be total of the time that he's missed over the years.
Missed the whole season.
What did he do last year?
Cracked his patella and cracked his bloody his kneecap. He's been out for that long.
He did.
For him to come back, score a couple of tries, be involved like that, be at the club that he loves, local junior, that is nothing but respect. I'm so happy for that kid.
I think he's Central Coast.
Doesn't matter. He's still a junior there.
Yeah,
you're
right.
He got him down when he was a young kid.
Yeah. They'll claim him
as a junior.
That's a Roosters junior, like Fletch was saying.
If you come through the system.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so happy for him.
The Rabbitohs. You can't lose to the Roosters like that.
Nah, man.
Is JD, is he the favourite for the first coach to be? He's under the pump. I don't even want to say that.
He's under the pump. Why wouldn't he be? You got those players like Cody Walker, Latrell, Cook, Toll.
Murray. I thought, I said Cam Murray's the only one who can hold his head high. I thought Kalola Mutungi was really good as well.
Kalola Mutungi, he was one of their best.
And they've got him on the left for some reason when he's played predominantly right. I don't know what that's about. Maybe they're trying to get more to – the left edge started
more ball,
to – yeah, the left edge started to look like it was rolling in the back half, but they just couldn't ice it. Like remember when Alex Johnson does the chip over and it's like David Mwale through the middle or something like that?
Do you think changing halfbacks work?
Nah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, is this kid, was he going to do anything different than Ilias?
No.
Like?
No. There was no difference.
I don't know. Like, it's just, he's under the pump.
Well, we
talked
about.
I'm not sure what the answer is because look at the team that they've got, right? I don't look at them like they're on the same level as the Roosters.
But they're not 48-6, not level.
No, they're better than that.
That, you know what I mean?
They're missing some middles, man.
Yeah.
Cam Murray can't keep this work up for five more years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They're going to run him into the
Cook
ground,
off
the
bench. Why?
Apparently he had a bit of a niggly leading into the season, but I reckon it was trying to get a reaction. Havili was good against the Broncos.
Havili was good off the bench last week as lock.
Yeah. And he's been that his whole career.
He's that sort of player.
Just leave him there.
Yeah. I just think Cook should have started the game. They just got blown off the field. And that's coaching.
Mm.
You know, like that's coaching. Like why is Harvilli coming off? Why is he starting for?
Big decisions.
You know, the players don't really have a say in that. So
we just talked about how we love what Sticky does, making those big decisions. This is the flip side of it when it doesn't work, when you make these decisions and put people on notice and it doesn't work out.
So Jack Wine went.
It's not easy being a head coach. It's not like
it'd be awful.
Even though we're critical.
But look at the characters in that team. You need to manage those. You need to manage them. You manage the egos. You get the best out of them. That's what coaching is. That's why Wayne Bennett's the king. That's why Ricky Stewart is. That's why Craig Bellamy is. That's why Robbo is. Because they get people. You know what I mean? Like,
there's no connection out there, is there, eh? It doesn't look like there's any connection.
No.
I mean, like, they look like – how do I put this? It was funny, you know, like, we talk about the losses for the Broncos and we sort of give them a pass. They are missing Jai Arrow. They are missing Campbell Graham.
Jai Arrow's a big loss.
Jack Wyden played his first game, dropped Lachie Ilias, who should be realistically, no disrespect to Dean Hawkins, he ain't it.
Yeah.
Like I've seen enough of him play, like Lachie Ilias is their best option at half. Probably won't change it after a week, but I don't think Dean Hawkins, he's going to be a really good New South Wales Cup player and journeyman who could fill in and play a few games, but he's not a starting half.
The middles are under the most pressure at South.
Mm.
Because they got dominated through the middle. And every time they get dominated through the middle, it doesn't matter how good your backs are. You just get...
Just on the back
it's
foot.
It's just too much. It's on the back foot. And then the fatigue factor gets you. And then when you've got a class team like the Roosters, they're going to put it on you.
Mm.
especially when the foot's on the throat, then they'll fucking smash it down like they did.
Yeah.
Especially against the Rabbits. Roosters, Rabbits, crazy game.
Yeah, yeah. Jack White, he's right. He just needs a few. He looked a bit tired at the end there. And he was running with some purpose. But there was hardly any really decent shape until at the end. He needs to get used to that shape because it's not, even though it on paper it looks good, it's not really his nature to, he can run a tough line for you, but Jack also likes a little bit early and then.
Do you see a world where Jack plays six and Cody plays seven?
Yeah, for sure. Because Dean Hawkins, I don't think, is a long-term answer. And if they're not going to play Lockie, then that could be. One of them moves over to the right edge.
I wouldn't mind if Cody just attacks both sides of the ruck.
Mm.
You know, he's predominantly on the left because he was doing it a bit. But he did get over that side a little bit. So when they get those long fours, Cody Walker, he'd be the guy to attack, right?
Yeah.
All the time, get Latrell behind him. I don't know. It seems a little bit more balanced.
Yeah.
More dangerous, you know, like Campbell Graham comes back in that center position.
He ain't back to the end of the year. Jai Arrow said he's got better. Done then.
I said just rule him out. So even if they do come back, they ain't going to be the
same. It's going to be too late.
It's going to be too late. So you just got to make do. Yeah. I don't know, but I can see a world where Cody plays seven and then Jack plays six.
Yeah, could do.
Jack's one of the best runners at six.
But then it weakens the centers even more.
I know, then it weakens because Cody's so good out the back and squaring up with Latrell on that late sweep.
Yeah.
That's their money play.
I think they bite the bullet and go, look, we made a mistake on Ilias, put Ilias back in.
I don't think they'll do that.
They won't. Yeah, I agree. All right, mate, the Bulldogs.
Woo!
32, we were at Rose Hill Racecourse.
Gotta win the comp, boys.
I woke up, first thing we're texting each other, we're pumped to watch this one back and watch it Saturday morning. It's funny to watch a game back when you know the result and you start to see the efforts. It's a different way of watching the game that I really enjoyed. Their poor record at Belmore has been rectified. What's more impressive for you, mate? 32 points after not scoring that many of the first two rounds?
Or the duck egg.
The duck egg.
The duck egg. Yeah. So they could have easily given up a late try, but they didn't. They just fought for the whole way. You know, when you've got a team and you can get them to nil and it's like 6-7 minutes to go, that's the talk. Mm. Keeping the zero. And they did that. It was good to win a game at Belmore. Just to start building that belief.
I knew that. That's
building
why I
that
wrote
belief,
that.
Right? Building that belief in the players and knowing when you come to Belmore, you're not going to win. You know what I mean? That's the sort of attitude that we need to have. You come here, it's going to be a dogfight.
So I mentioned it when I was talking about Kickow as my dog of the week. I don't know if it's just, you know, sometimes things happen organically and they pick it up or it was a real emphasis this week. So one thing I noticed, attacking left provides a couple of things. They get some nice early shape because a lot of teams want to have two shots, but sometimes the first shot it's set up like it's a shot, but it's a fake shot.
Yeah.
So for people that are watching at home, they might have some beautiful shape where they're coming out to the left, but really it's to generate a quick play the ball. So then they play short. Matty Burton or Hutchinson hits kick out. He gets a quick play the ball, but the shot is always to come back to the right.
Mm.
And what that does is it creates, because kick out, like I said, with the tough carries, the 55 post contact that he got, he skittles everyone. It's a quick play the ball. The line doesn't get set. And I think their right side, your right side, with Preston, who scores the first try, and Jacob Carraz.
Good to see Preston get a try.
Yeah, I know. He's one of those guys. He's
great line.
I think he's an Origin player for sure. They run heaps better lines. Kick out on that. Kick out on Critter, they probably wanted a little bit earlier ball. Preston and Carraz will run a really good down line. So
Carraz was fucking on, wasn't he?
If you hit the left and come back, two things happen. You've got your better hole runners on the right, but the most important part, I reckon, you've got Matty Burton on ball.
Mm.
So Matty Burton is playing seven in that role. He comes back, lead shape. And if you're a middle, and no disrespect to Drew Hutchinson, but he's not holding up the middles like Matty Burton is. If you're a middle, Mason, Matty Burton's coming on that first block, you have to check it.
Yeah.
You have to check it because Matty Burton comes off the right or left, he's way more dangerous than what Hutchinson is. So he keeps the middles on us, and then there are spaces out wide. And then that's where they got their joy.
That's where they get their joy. And that's where, like, I think Salmon comes into play.
Yep.
So when you do break Kurt it Mann. Down with kick out, right? As I said, like the inside line, and then you've got the numbers, and then it's about a 5-meter gap, right?
Yep.
you got to fall on the right spot. So Kickouts, his job is to fall on the inside numbers, right? So
three and four men.
So just say you're trying to move like someone from that short side or someone from the long side to the short side to try and fuck their numbers up.
Yep.
And then like just say if
just quickly,
if kicks,
just quickly, he was specifically targeting, so for people that don't know, he's getting inside Tanner Boyd, outside Cleese Haas, therefore a middle has to go to the short side.
So they're trying to get the middle. So if the middle goes to the short side, Birdo will go short side.
Yep.
But if he doesn't, if he flips in the open side, then it'll be tip sort of out the back and then like try and have a crack at him with Preston or Carraz.
Yeah.
And then get back to the post again. That's most teams' game plan. But you just got to execute it. Easier said than done.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
You know, a couple of our guys, Carraz had an outstanding game. I think it was his best game that he's played for us ever, which is saying something. You know, he's played some pretty good games, but he was dominant in centers. Yeah. Their best game easily as a center.
Yes. Yeah, because he's had
scoring
some good
those tries, man. Like in the defensive efforts that he was doing, like fucking loved it.
It was a soft try from the Titans, but still he went after it.
Yeah, if he didn't have any leg drive or anything like that, like he went after it every single play.
The fans have been critical of Hutchinson and Taff, but the reason they're in the team and the reason Serralda, yeah, they've made errors, but they compete. Like it's they're probably underwhelming if you're a Bulldogs fan long term. They're not going to be long term answers. I think maybe Taff could potentially have more ceiling than what Hutchinson has at this point, but long term they're probably not going to be your answers. But short term, at least they compete all the time and they're always around the ball. And when you have controlled possession like they do, then you probably see the best of Taff.
Yeah.
You know, supporting through the middle on a couple of those tries.
Yeah, when you're winning the field position, right?
The middle's
I'm not sure what they expect from Taff when they're just like, if we're losing the field position, you just bomb it to him, right? And they're just going to go up. They're trying to compete for the ball. Do you know what I mean? It's only a 50-50 ball if it's the timing's right.
Yeah, Brimo should have had
one. You know what I'm
early.
Saying? You know, like, fuck, they blew that, didn't they?
Yeah, bad.
Brimo, just go yourself. You know, but around the middle of the rut, when we're getting that field position, you get a few offloads around there. It's real ad-lib football. That's when Taff comes into it.
Yeah.
Because you can just support around the ruck. You know, so
he's going to want to play Rabbitohs this weekend. He's going to want to have a big
game.
I think
Friday.
It's a tricky game. I like the Bulldogs early in that one. Just quickly on the Titans as well. Like after they blew that first shot, fuck, they need Fifita and Campbell back bad. They got no X factor, do they? They looked as
I think they're the. If you go off three rounds, they're the worst team in the comp.
Yeah, so they've only played two games though. They've only played two games. They've had a bye,
games.
Well, that's the worst part about it. You had a bye. You get pumped by who'd they get pumped by in round one? Dragons.
Yeah.
Their form line against is losing to the Dragons and Dogs in that fashion. That's bad signs for the Titans.
But even last year, when everyone was sort of like. They played a way better brand of football.
Mm.
Was it because Fifita was there? Now they're going to lose Tino.
Yeah, they're done.
I'm praying for you, Tino. That's terrible. Like ACL, it's devastation for him. You know, he's a top three prop in the game.
Mm.
So you lose that guy. He's their heartbeat. He's their captain. He's their best player. And now you lose him. I mean, I'm just so shattered for him. But like, how do they get back from that?
I don't think they can. I think it's the
probably a spoon
done
year. Seems like a spoon year for me. If you lose Tino, Fifita's been—he's going to miss a couple of games. Fifita's a back rower.
I think
he's
back this week.
I know, but he's not a middle.
Yeah.
So he has to get. He gets on the back of what Tino and Fodawaker are doing in the middle, and then it's a quick play of the ball, and you'll go short sides. He's with Fozzie and all this kind of stuff. You had Brimo out the back, and you had all this diversion. I don't see any of that.
Mm.
Who's the fullback at the moment?
Keno Kinney.
He's not it.
Mm.
I'd be putting Brimson back there straight away. As soon as Campbell wasn't playing centre, wasn't playing fullback, Brimson, fullback straight away.
Yeah, I can understand the reasoning behind it, though.
Put Philip Sammy in the centres or something, put someone else on the wing.
Put
Fifita on the wing.
Jojo Fifita isn't playing at the moment.
Yeah, but he's playing reserve grade, right?
He's playing reserve grade.
Yeah, so you put
Queensland Cup.
You put what's the name? You pull in Philip Sammy and you put him there and you put him at full and you put Brimo at fullback. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, I know. I think the reasoning is similar to the Warriors though, because they always assumed, just like Chance Nickel-Clocks, that Jaden Campbell was going to be back soon. You keep Keno Kinney there, you keep Tuipiki there, because when they come back, eventually you want to get Brimson used to that centre position like you want to get Roger used to that centre position.
Brimson can just play. Yeah. He's just a player. Well, he doesn't have to be sitting in the centres for 3 games or 4 games and he's going to become the best centre in the world. You know?
Yeah.
If it's 12 games, if it's 16 games, fair enough.
I
don't
disagree with you, mate. I think that might be the rationale, though. That was
it would be the rationale.
Yeah. All right, Mace, let's get into the Dragons. 24 go down to the Cowboys, 46. After being down 18-4, Cowboys put 42-6 on the Dragons after the Raymond Fatala Mariner knock on.
Oh, that fucked him.
Are the Cowboys the best attacking team in the comp? And where does their spine rank in the game?
Oh, yes.
As a whole. Like individually, they're not the best players at their position. Robson, but I think
Townsend,
they really
top.
They really complement each other.
Top
really
five? Well. Top three, maybe?
Yeah.
You think?
As a group,
like Robson, origin player.
Yep.
Townsend, 250 gamer.
Origin
Dearden,
player?
Yeah, like a Townsend, like he's not an origin player. You know, Dearden, origin player?
No, oh, sorry, I thought you said Dearden.
No, Townsend, like premiership proper, winner? Like just game manager, everything like that.
Premiership winner?
Yeah, and like Drinky's like borderline rep player with that skill set. Yeah. He's the best passer in the game at fullback.
Oh, best.
Some of that ball, man, he was ridiculous.
Callum threw a nice one last night.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice.
But Drinky's right up there.
Yep. That was a weird game. Yeah. I just thought, Cowboys are down, Dragons, they looked on, right?
Yeah.
Then that one little thing, just momentum switcher, man. It's, when Fatala Mariner dropped that ball, they just sort of went, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
What are we going to do now?
Same old Dragons.
But it was 18-4. I mean, was it 18-4? So that would have been 24-6, it would have been.
24-4.
Do you think it's game over?
Well, yeah, I thought it was going to be.
Mentally, you'd be like, yeah, we're on. Then they score that next try, it broke them.
Yeah, it broke them straight away.
It broke them. Not scoring the try, it's the resilience was done, right? They scored a try, oh, fuck, here we go again. That's what happened.
That's Flano's biggest job at the Dragons.
Try and fix that?
Is
that
fixing
mentality?
That mentality, isn't it? Like when you lose for 3 to 4 years and Cerrado's trying to do that with the Dogs as well.
It's a mentality.
It is a mentality, isn't it? How hard is it to break?
And as I said, like resilience is something that you need to build and go through. You don't coach resilience. Hey, be more resilient. Fucking how? You've just got to be in positions like that and just like fucking bite the bullet. Ben Hunt needs to be driving that all the time. Mm. Their senior players need to be driving it all the time. Understanding how important that next set of six is or the next couple of sets of six so they don't score, and then you build back into it. You know, oh, yeah, we can defend for 2 or 3 sets of 6. You know, it's hard to defend. The six of goes and everything like that. That breaks teams. And it broke the Dragons.
It did. Ben Hunt, one of the one of the better players of his generation, experienced origin player, Jack DeBellin, before he had his sideline stint, he was a well and truly an origin player and was dominating for New South Wales during that for a couple of years there. Then you have Jack Bird, premiership winner. Who's like, where does it come from? Like, it's not like they don't have. It's different to you, like to the Bulldogs, where you've got new players that are trying to be leaders at the club. Where these guys have had these dudes in those positions for
a
while now. Still not.
They got a bunch of vets. If you look at their total games with most teams, they're probably winning.
They'd be up there.
Yeah, they have. Because they're all like 150, 200 gamers, 300 gamers in Ben Hunt.
Yeah.
Flanagan, 100. I think he's played 100 games or something like that. He'd be near there. Like Fatala Mariner, 100 games. Anyway, they were just –
Blake Laurie.
Yeah, Blake Laurie. He was good. He's been playing good. Like their forwards are going well. He's getting schooled on the edge. Val Holmes, like they had some joy around Val Holmes.
He's been bounced back, but
like a couple of those tries that they had – he was caught in no man's land.
Yes.
So he's the best. He's one of the best defenders in the game at the left center.
So he must have wanted to work on his ball handling from last week, but he forgot about his defense this week.
Then he fixed it.
He had 247 meters a try, maybe a couple of tries assists, but he was error free defensively.
They had two.
The first one where Sloan scores is really bad.
Yeah, he just shot up on the no one.
Lost Ben Hunt.
Yeah.
And the other one, he sort of put pressure on Murray Talangi where the Lomax scored that try as well. Both of them were arguably his fault.
But they're easily fixable.
Mm.
You can't put Talangi under pressure like that.
So Drinky has a try and two try assists, a 40-20, but he also has three errors. Like that's what you live with when you got a guy like Drinky in your team, right?
Yeah, I do. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
What was his errors? Were they three bad?
Yeah.
It depends where you make the errors, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think of costly. I'm trying to think of the first. There was a couple of like wayward passes. There was one that might have been a tip back, which is again, that's a six again error. I'll have to watch it back. I don't think they were overly crazy. They're more trying to make plays. That's the point. That's the point of it.
And you don't mind that. You will live, as you said, you will live and die by that.
Yeah.
Because most of the time he does make the right decision.
Three try assists from Robson. They were very soft though through the middle. The Dragons after getting to a lead. When Flano scored that try, like, yeah, for sure, I thought they were travelling. Roma for Telemara, he hasn't scored in 3 years.
You can fucking tell why.
Oh, poor fella. You've been on that many
big razor.
Nudie runs. The worst try for the Dragons, I don't know if you've seen the Chad Townsend try right at the death. Chad carried three middles over.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I must have turned it off by then.
Yeah, you might have. I thought you might have because I knew you would.
No, I did watch the 46. No, I saw that.
Did you see it right at
the end? I got to a 46. So, all the things because obviously we were at the races on Saturday, so I had to watch Super Saturday plus all yesterday. So I watched five games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did. I got him to a 46. So I saw the score. Yeah, that's
so what
disgusting.
He did, Reece Robson gets out, throws it to him. He goes into contact. I think it was Murdoch, Marcella, Sloaney was thereabouts, and who was the back rower on the right? Anyway, it was awful.
It was awful.
Mate.
I saw it.
It was awful.
Even just, you know, Murdoch, Marcella should have grabbed him and threw him out. Like Sloan. Sloan's good, man, but like he needs to really work on his defense.
He's been good to better.
Been
to start better.
He's been way better, but I'm just saying, like his communication in defence, where he stands, because they're going, they're still gunning for
they're
him.
They're still coming for
Whenever
him.
Whenever he's at A, especially like guys like Drinky, and that Drinky got exposed the week before.
Yes,
you know. So when you got a good nine like Robson, and you got good middles like McLean, and then you got the dog of dogs, Reuben Cotter, they just non-stop get at you.
Reuben Cotter looks to be sweet, by the way. He looked like he was hobbling with the ankle injury.
But all middles are talking to their nines, right? All week going, who's the one? Who's the one? Is it Tom Trbojevic? Do you know what I mean? Is it a big one? You know what I mean? Or is it like, can we get out? Can we – and like, can
is
we
– Is there opportunity?
Can we get out a rook? Just say a guy who comes off the bench, he's not that smart with his marker detail, right? He's going to bite at the nine. That's all you want.
Yeah.
Come out, bite at the nine, and you've got that lead run. Then you've got like a Sloan or someone like that or a Drinkwater. You terrorize. It's one-on-one.
Yeah.
Because the other marker's going the other way.
Yeah, he is.
It's too late.
It's too late.
Especially if you're flat. If you're flat and fast and you just got a little bit of diversion out the back of the lead runner, because the lead runner's just doing his job, then it's up to the nine to engage that marker. And if he does engage, you hit the front guy. If he doesn't, you just pull back and then you go at the back.
Yep.
But, all big guys just think like you're always looking for that opportunity, right? Especially
definitely
like
spots.
10 metres out. And because they've got those fullbacks in the fucking line now, all the time, just for numbers' sake, I'm still not a big believer in that, man. If you're not a good defender, you're a liability.
Yeah, you've got to keep
I'd rather you just be tucked in behind A and then follow the ball.
Yeah.
Don't be exploited there.
It depends on the makeup of your fullback.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Speaking of fullbacks, Tigers got themselves a good one, Mace.
Yeah.
32-6, the Tigers beat the Sharks. My question to you, with Galvin in only two appearances looking like he's going to be a – I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but he looks like a good option. Jareem Buller at fullback, Jerome Luai on his way. Do the Tigers, obviously Api Kaurisau, who is the dog of the week, do they have themselves a spine to make some noise in 2025?
Yeah, they do. Because of Kaurisau, you know, Caesar. Caesar was good, I thought.
I don't think Caesar will be part of their best spine next year.
Yeah,
but he was
good. Not next year, but this year. He'll do a job.
Yeah, I'm single.
Because the Sullivan kid's not – he ain't it.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm talking about 2025, though. Next year moving forward with Jerome Luai coming to partner up Lachlan Galvin.
Okay.
And Jareem Buller, who looks like
he's
getting better and better. And then you got Api Kaurisau. It's pretty good spine, 100%. Mate. Pretty good spine.
100%. Yep, I think because Luai, I think he's going to be on – he'll be super motivated. You'd be thinking, leaving that club, knowing that all the pressure that's on him. And I think that he's a kid who thrives on pressure. And bullshit, you know what I mean? He's like, all right, we'll see what happens. I'll get this team into the top eight because I reckon they're going to push for it this year.
Yes.
And then he's just going to jump on, add that little bit of class.
Yep.
And then he'll look like a fucking god.
Yeah, he'll look
the grouse. You know, so I think, yeah, they're good, man. Yeah. They're all right. They've got good, tough forwards. I thought Clemmer played one of his more impressive games. Fucking Otui Kamanu.
Yeah, he set the tone.
Oh, shit.
He took a lick off the first. He got rattled.
Did.
But he set the tone.
Yeah, I thought like he was.
The intent was noticeable compared to the Raiders game the week before.
I think he's – when he's on, I think he probably have a Blues jersey again this year if he keeps playing like that.
Priority position.
Just playing more than 8 minutes.
Not only the spine. Yeah, hopefully he plays more than eight. It's priority positions, like we said, the spine. Premier front rower potentially, Stefano Ikemanu.
A
player of much potential we've been talking about for a couple of years. If he kicks on, man, for Norpole, then they could have key positions locked in.
He's an animal. He's 19.
Mm. Is he only 19?
He's 19.
Let me have a look at that.
He's a beast. Bateman, Papali'i, Big Clem. I'm sure they got some other big boys coming off the bench.
He's 21.
21. I swear he was 18 last year.
Lachlan Galvin.
Has he been around for a minute?
Been around a couple of years. Well,
he only debuted last year.
Nah, he made.
He's almost had the wrong guy.
He was going in the starting lineup. So the year before, they sprinkled him in at 19, and then he was in and out of the team last year. He wasn't playing. Okay. He was inconsistent last year. So. He was a player that they had high hopes for. Speaking of high hopes, Galvin, I was watching the game, Nicho Hynes on the other side. Same body shape, movement on the ball.
Body shape? Nicho would be furious at that.
Well, he's 18.
He looks like he never lifted a weight in his life.
He's only 18.
Yeah, I know, but his legs.
Projecting like
Nicho Hynes got mad legs. He's strong as hell.
Yeah, but.
A stalky's rig.
No, you should have seen Nicho playing under 20s.
Was he skinny like that?
Oh, he was like a string bean, yeah.
Okay, right.
So projecting height, movement, the way he sort of glides around, always wants to be on
good mover, man.
It's very Nicho Hynes.
Yeah, like. I like it. He's going to be good, man.
Not the same legs.
Yeah, I look at Nicho and go, "This strong legs, bro."
Yeah, yeah.
And I look at Galvin, I'm like, "You need some squats, bro."
Yeah, yeah. He's on my leg.
But I like the way he plays.
Yeah, so
he wants the ball. Yeah, he demands the ball. His first game last week, he's fucking give me the ball. Give it here.
He was overcalling again in this
game. Yeah, he wants it, and I love that. And he's only going to get bigger, stronger, and faster. A couple more preseasons, a couple more years, he's going to be good.
Yeah, I like him.
Yes.
Yep. Chip on his shoulder.
I love it.
The championship players in the team really stood up. Coruscant, Bateman, and Ollum. They went after it.
Fucking Ollum went after it, bro. He was bashing blokes. Our boy Ollum. I'm glad he come there with a chip on his shoulder, right? Yeah. Got swapped for fucking back row or something like that, didn't he?
Tonema Pia and Seve beat him out.
Yeah. I was like, okay, now you're back. Mm. Now he's fully felt. Something must have went wrong down there, man. Yeah.
He lost confidence, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's making bad decisions.
Ola Kawatu hit just sent him to fucking 10
I think,
years ago.
I think it was on the – yeah, you're right. I think that was the final moment, but yeah. I think it was sort of on the – the writing was on the wall for him. He sort of just dipped a little bit down there.
Fell off a bit.
But now he's the guy.
He looks sharp.
He goes from being out of favour at Melbourne to being the guy in the outside backs at outside. Obviously, Buller's the main young and up-and-comer.
He's going to be testing on that left edge, but
he's only 30 years old too, Ollum. He's still got about 2 or 3
years. He's looked the same for 10 years.
Yeah. He'll be the same in another 10 years.
He will look exactly the same when he's 50.
Yeah. The Sharks let a great start slip. Obviously, they should, you know, could have gone 3-0 and been with the Cowboys. Royce Hunt did his calf just about to run onto the field in warm up.
Remember the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
Greenlaw, Danny's Achilles running on.
Yeah,
obviously not as bad as Greenlaw, but I mean, like doing your warm up, like just you know when you get a hit in a pad or whatever you're trying to do, trying to get warm. Wow, that sucked. They missed him.
Yeah,
he's been good. But that is very unlucky, man.
Yeah.
It must have been bad too.
That's just it's probably Nicho's worst game that I've seen as well. Like two out on the full to begin, and I think he was sort of just the same thought process that I had with the Sharks. Once they got that first try, and then a few errors happened. It's just like they didn't have that steel that they've had in the first couple of weeks. Yeah. Like they weren't willing to earn it.
Mm-hmm. I was more impressed with the Tigers' defense.
Same.
Because everyone was just going, oh, yeah, they're going to have a great attacking team because of Benji, this and that. No, no, no. That defense yesterday was
32-6.
Out of this world. I think they had 9 missed tackles at halftime. Something like that. I remember when we were
against
Bulldogs,
that Sharks team.
Against the Bulldogs. We used to have a goal of 20 missed tackles a game.
Okay.
And usually if you get that, you win games.
That's a good indicator.
Yeah. Their defense was mad. Well done, Tigers.
Well done, Tigers. Yeah, I don't think it's. I think it's like people are going to hammer the Sharks a little bit, but I think the Tigers forced them into it.
Yeah,
Sharks will be okay. The Tigers have incorporated both the West and Balmain team songs too. After, I don't know if you've seen, they were holding paper reading the song. So what they've done is they sing the Western Suburbs song to begin with, and then the Balmain Tigers song.
Take
after.
Fucking ages.
Do you like that?
I don't mind it, but like, just come up with your own. I thought the Tigers already had their own song. What were they singing? What were they singing in 05?
The new song together. So they created a new song, but they wanted to show homage to the OGs of the West.
Oh, that's mad.
And Balmain Tigers. It's nice. I think Chris Iyington come up with it in camp. So they learnt it when they were in Queensland doing a camp.
Right.
But they still hadn't completely, not everyone had known it. So there was people handing around.
I've seen it before. It was like us at the Bulldogs last year.
Breaking news, mate. Fox League has announced, this was rumoured to be the case last night, Panthers are the first team to Vegas in 2025.
So they should be.
So I wonder if that changes if they win the competition and they have to. Oh, no, World Club Challenge.
They'll be going straight from there to there. Or they might put the World Club Challenge in Vegas.
Or they might have to move it, have a 2-week break before they have the World Cup Challenge. Yep. Few things, variables that could come into that, so more to come.
Yeah, well, they should be there. They've been the most dominant team in the last 4 years. They deserve it.
I agree. The Scope Cup, the Eels defeat Manly 28-24. Manly looked to be doing it easy, 14-0 up, but Power with a huge win. The obstruction rule, where do you stand on the obstruction rule, Mace?
Well, they've been pretty consistent with this, which I pay homage to the refs.
Yep.
But like, fuck, there's no way that guy was getting there.
No way.
He took a play off and he's getting rewarded for it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's what I look at. I'm like, you slow that shit down. He knew he was never going to get there. And even if he was, he was copping that on his chest. He knew he fucked it. But he's like, oh, well, please go back. Please go back. It got obstructed a little bit. Rules are rules. Jakey should have ran through or stopped.
I agree. No,
just don't stop in the line.
I agree.
Just a lesson to everyone. It was beautiful play. Beautiful play.
I thought the refereeing throughout the game was Peter Goff had a pretty bad game, in my opinion. One thing I'm going to do now moving forward, I'm going to do reviews on the referee. Because I want to go back and have a look at him. We're going to have some data. I thought at 14-0, he gave a penalty to Parramatta. Lachlan Croker offside. They replayed it. He wasn't even offside.
No, another one. You're off the line quick and you're – Yeah, I'm just got. I would have said, I just got mad line speed. Shut up.
Well, it felt like it was almost that. Like, sorry, because the game was going so one way, he wanted to
even it up
a little bit. It was a bad decision. He also did one to Ruben Garrick later in the game that wasn't. And there were like three occasions where he gave a tackle four, tackle five, six agains when I thought it sort of didn't go both ways. So moving forward, I'm going to review the obstruction rule. I think it's fine. I said it a couple of weeks ago.
It is what it is, but like, I agree. Black and white.
Yeah.
Jakey, if he had his moment again, he just would have kept running through. And that kid was never going to get him.
Moretti played it well.
He did, because he knows he was never going to get him. They slowed it down. He didn't even know they were going to replay. He's like, oh, fuck.
I don't think he even played it well. I think he was just that fucking gassed that that's all he had.
It's a great play.
It was nice. It was a good play.
Yeah, it just sucked. Do you think that would have changed the trajectory of the game?
Potentially. You never know. It's a hypothetical.
Parramatta are that team. I said
I like Parramatta.
I said I'll judge Parramatta. I'll judge whoever's going to be the top team of the NRL now. I think I'm still with Penrith and the Roosters.
Yeah.
And then it's these two.
Okay. Yep. I'm with
That's where I'm at.
Cowboys?
They're up there, probably fifth. Then you got probably Storm.
All right.
So we'll go through that later.
So Blaise Talangi scores a try on debut.
Bro.
First of all, no one does that to Turbo. Second of all, he gets up and kicks the footy like it was nothing.
Like he's been played.
Like he's a vet.
100th try.
Like he's a 100-game vet and Turbo's nothing. And thirdly, he backs it up. And Mace.
I like him.
Parramatta have their X factor.
Yeah, I like him. He's taken play ones off taps.
I like him,
running
Mace.
At middles.
He's about
I
that
love
smoke.
This kid. He wants it. He's got a sick name, Blaise Talangi.
Oh, he's made for he's always going
to
be a gun.
He's made for whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
And it's this. To do that to Turbo was in a good position, bro.
He got, like, Turbo got there in time.
I mean, he's on his ass going, the fuck was that?
What was that?
Yeah, what was that? I think he expected to pump him and go, bang, get out, kid.
You know what I like? You know what I love looking at? Reactions of players. So I don't know if you noticed in the background, Mitch Moses was the one who gave him the last pass, and Dill Brown's running over, and they're both like looking at each other like, holy fuck.
Because it's Turbo.
And Chez comes sweeping in behind and was like, what the fuck just happened to Turbo?
No disrespect. If that's a Sloan, if it's Drinkwater, if it's Pappenhausen, it's even, it's if it's a little body, but if it's a 6'5", 107 kilo Tommy Turbo, who was in position to pump him, bro, and he had an opportunity to come off his left, to come off his right, go for the corner, or go straight at his chest. Chose, I was like, oh, he chose the wrong one. I thought he chose the wrong one, and I'm like, oh, Blaise Talangi's arrived. Even if it's one game, I'm still going to say he's going to be the fucking shit.
Yeah, he could
be the
going to be
that dude, man.
He could be that player they're looking
for. One they're looking for, that outside back.
Yeah.
But the tough carries and the defensive, the defensive like mind, he's there.
Well, it's in their team this year. It's noticeable this year. Their physicality, Bryce Cartwright.
That first fucking hit.
The lick on Josh Alawai.
Ooh.
He's about it this year. Yeah. Bryce Cartwright, man. So I had someone there was someone in the comments that reached out to us and said, let's start, is Luke Brooks a contender for Origin this year? I said, first of all, don't put that pressure on Brooks. He doesn't need that. He just wants to play good footy. I thought he was okay there yesterday
too.
And
no, he's not.
And I want to see a full year of it first for Luke Brooks, right? Like if he has a really good season at Manly this year, Mace, do you start to consider him in for 2025?
No. Because you got to start. He's nearly 30.
Well, Bryce Cartwright, same age. Would you have said that about Bryce
Cartwright?
He's
a forward, but
yeah, but like
it's only different positions. if you're trying to build for like years. You're not picking a 30-year-old like half in the New South Wales team now.
Well, you could argue
for a debut, right? If there's injuries and stuff like that, that's it. You probably put him in there, but not other than that.
You could argue that Chez's last 5 years has been as good as his first 5 years in the competition. Cherry's doing his best work. But you got to give him a full year of project. My point is that don't talk about Brooks for an entire season. Let the kid play. Well, not even a kid. He's 30 years old now. Let him play a full season. Dominate at Manly or play really good footy at Manly with no pressure. And then next year, if he's still doing it at the start of the season, then you can have that conversation.
Then.
Like Bryce Cartwright did last year and has developed into this year. Bryce is taking his game to a whole new
and
level.
And I just thought, just say if you go back on Brooks, right? I never looked at Brooks early in his career and going, that's a Origin player.
Okay.
So I always looked at Cartwright like that. Okay. It's just about reaching his potential.
Yep.
His potential and his ceiling is high.
Mm.
Brooks has always been, he's a good player, man. That's it. But like I never looked at him like, he's going to play Origin one day.
For some people he was in the conversation though.
Because of fucking Joey.
Yeah.
He's the next Andrew Johns. Yep. Ruined him as soon as I said that.
The front row rotation is here to stay, mate.
Yeah, it is. I thought this is the game that they should have started Junior.
No.
And he comes with that beautiful ball, that hit and spin, changing hands and then putting in his left arm,
Silky.
Just popped it to Moses. That is very underrated, people.
Yeah.
You try and do that at speed. Yeah. Try and hit with your right shoulder, put it in your other hand whilst in contact and then just lay it up.
Mm. He made it look easy.
No, it's fucking hard. Mm. That's what I'm saying. Like it's just that skill set to be that big and to move so smoothly and to change hands in contact and just lay it up for you. There you go, son.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful to watch. And I mean, I love watching that big boy play because of the skill set that he has.
Yeah.
But then he's just killing it off the bench. And I'm like, fuck, he's probably going to play off the bench all year because it works.
Three waves though. So they have the first 20 minutes with Joe and Reggie. Then he comes on at the 20-minute mark for Joe. So you still get 10 minutes of him and Reggie together who goes off at the 30-minute mark. And then Reggie comes back on with Joe. And shout out to Reggie.
Reg tries to kill everyone too. He's line speed and like he's after it. He is totally after it every single game. Love it. Shout out, as you said, 200 games.
200 of the best. Reggie tries to do it defensively more so, whereas Junior tries to run over you and physically. They're a perfect
combination. You need it. And even like Big Joe, so when you got three dogs like that and even Hopgood and that, you're trying to make it a competition.
Yeah.
Let's see who can beat, like, you know what I mean? Like you see who can put the biggest hit on.
Mm.
Like that's what happens when you're playing with a bunch of dogs. You're just going at it. You go at it. Like you see Reg go at it.
Mm.
You should be like, when I'm all playing, see Ogre do it, Roy, then I want to do it. Like Nate Miles want to do it, Sonny Bill, Rennie. It just happens. You just want it. Makes it a competition between yourselves.
Yeah.
You don't even care about the other team.
Yeah.
And that's where they're heading if they keep going like that. Big Joe's like, he's doing his job at the start, but he's probably going, I deserve a start.
Yeah.
He's going to start playing like that, man. He's played Origin.
Yeah. Manly, on the other hand, they will look like they're cruising, but they had one set out of 10. So they were 10 sets to one just before halftime. So off the back of making them the penalty really snowboard out of control. Parramatta
one set to 10
just before halftime.
Holy shit.
And it just completely gassed them. That was a credit to Parramatta. They were playing really nice second phase footy, which could be a tactic against Manly because there were a few like knockdowns and errors off the back of that as well. The referee watch is what I'm looking for. Great signs for Manly. Turbo's first try, out sprinting Dylan Brown for that try, I thought was very noticeable because Dylan Brown ain't slow, mate. So Turbo actually
– he didn't even look he's moving quick, but –
he wasn't in fourth.
But he's like
– he wasn't in fourth gear, but he was well and truly in third, and I haven't seen him unload in third for a long time.
I love it. That. He was on. Manly were there to play. They were impressive in that first like 20, 30. Then the obstruction shit and a couple of little things, a couple of penalties here and there, but they still had every ample opportunity to win the game.
Olokuatu, 7 runs for 77 meters. What a job by Parramatta. They didn't have any ball, mate. And when they got the ball, he was so fatigued because they'd just been defending.
They're back five.
If you can do that to Olokuatu, you contain Manly.
Yes, I agree.
And I wrote that not to be disrespectful to Manly or Olokuatu.
He's their man.
I thought it was a great job by Parramatta.
If he runs 160 on you, you're pretty much going to lose.
You're done.
I just think they're back five. They're back Paulo. Was it
Jackson Paulo?
Paulo and
Vaiunga.
Vaiunga. They need some big bodies back there. They need Saab.
They miss Saab.
Who else can be on the wing?
Tommy
there?
Talau looks good.
Tommy Talau looks
in
like a
game.
Big body. Hmm. You know, like they're play ones and play twos. They're just ragdolling on that Paulo kid.
Yeah, Jackson.
Vaying is not, you know, he's not a 20 hit up man.
He's not a weekend, week out in first grade. He's good backup to have for certain games. Yeah. But I think if they are going to be a genuine contender, I still think Manly can be.
Yeah.
They need Tommy Talau and Saab back.
Yep, I agree.
Last game, Knights 14 defeat, barely defeat the Storm 12. Nervous game by both teams, but Knights just hold on. Have Knights solved their spine problem?
No. They look clunkier than they did with Hastings there. I know, they might figure it out.
Yeah.
They're lucky Ponga was on. He was on.
Ponga had a good first half.
Yeah. He had, like, if he doesn't play, they probably lose to Melbourne with all their spine out.
Yeah.
Harry Grant was outstanding. Pappy was outstanding.
Pappy's back.
So those two players, they nearly won him the game. They fucking Wishart, who's a... I'm not sure what position he is.
Yeah. He's a toiler. He's a Melbourne Storm player.
I know,
player.
He just runs. He's That's just a what Melbourne he does. Storm player. You know, so.
They miss Young and Marzu.
Big time.
What they did last year was unbelievable, and they're really lacking with it. The middles have been disappointing for me. Leo Thompson, who I thought was really good at the back end of last season, playing for the Kiwis, playing Indigenous All-Stars game, he hasn't really started the season I expected, and the Saifidi brothers as well. It's like. They're good, but they're not like – I expect great – like I think they've got a greatness – not greatness. That's – I think they've got elite front row potential as a group, and I just haven't seen it.
Middles, right? They've got good middles.
Are they just dropping the ball too much? Are they too fatigued?
I don't know what it is, man.
Are they trying to play last year? Are they the Cowboys of 2023?
Maybe.
They think it's all just going to happen because it happened last year?
Yeah, and now they've made that decision. I mean, they won 10, 11 games with Hastings in there, right? Mm. Colga just needs to find his feet.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Gamble needs to find his role as well. Yeah. He doesn't get much touches, but he can't be fucking kicking the ball out in the full.
No.
Little things like that are heartbreakers. So when he's only going to get about 10 touches or something like that to do something, he can't – we said it before.
You can't make
one or two mistakes.
No.
You know what I mean? He's lucky – I said he's lucky he had Ponga there that really pulled him in. That was like great ball on the line. You know what I mean? Like he's just – he was outstanding for him. Couple of line breaks here and there.
It was a bit of a dud game, to be honest.
It was an awful game.
It was probably the worst game of the round.
Kai Pierce Paul.
Yeah. Love him.
Yeah, I like him, but you gotta support inside now. He's got that hand free all the time.
He's always got a free, eh?
And he's not even like – and I think that you haven't taken the reins off him yet.
Yeah.
Right? He's got so much talent.
Yeah.
He's still finding his feet. He's timing and everything on that left edge with Ponga around the back and all that kind of stuff. He just needs to be running those – needs to be getting him one-on-ones because he's never one-on-one because they understand how big and long and strong he is, right?
Yeah. It's up to Kalen to get him into the game, I think.
Yes. You know,
and maybe he goes down that short side with that shape that he used to run, short, long, play to him a couple of times.
Really need to get him involved in the ball.
Get a front row to lay that post line and then double down in the short
side. One-on-ones, but, right? I need him. I need a person like that who has that skill set needs support inside and out every time he gets a ball. And he had it free. It's late offload with that kid because he's fighting all the way.
Yeah.
You don't just give up on plays with him.
He was standing pretty much in every tackle.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, he just needs to fight a little bit more. Those offloads will come. Yep. And because they've... It was a very tight game. He was never going to really offload that ball. And, you know, a couple of loose carries, you know, all that sort of stuff. And they hit it late. That fucks your confidence up when you're an offloader.
He's better when they've got a lead and then they're flowing. And then like if he was playing for like the Eels against Manly.
Yeah.
And they're promoting flowing. The footy and he's flowing. He would have suited the Eels.
Yeah, sure. He would. Like imagine if Sean Lane's doing damage like that. Yeah. Like he's got the same sort of body type, very long.
Agree. Yep.
So Lane gets a lot of one-on-ones.
Yep.
Yeah, but that once he learns his timing and everything like that and they start building around him on that left edge, Adam Elliott's the key to that team. I thought he was really good. He gets a lot of he made some really good decisions last night, I thought.
Yeah. He's one of those
guys. Doing a lot of work.
He's a bit similar to Gamble. Like he plays with his heart on his sleeve. He also makes a few errors, but he has a crack.
Yeah.
So you love playing with those players, but when they do make errors, you see players just go.
I think I said it last year. He's the heart and soul of that team.
Yeah.
They hold him in the highest regard.
I sent him
Adam Elliott.
I sent him before the game. He was the one given the last.
He's the one who talks. So you watch. Just because he doesn't run out first doesn't mean he's not that spiritual leader. He's that guy that they look at and they go off him. You know, like I think he's really balanced his game out. We're knowing when to pass, the timing of the pass, and knowing when to run.
Yeah.
He's a ball runner.
He's better ball
He's a
runner.
Ball runner.
He does get a bit sometimes. But he makes his errors when he's trying to ball
he
play.
He suffers a little bit when the two props aren't smashing the middle up. Mm. That's what Leo Thompson and Saifidi need to start busting some tackles, quick play the balls, then you get off the back of that.
On paper, those three are very intimidating. They've got a very high ceiling in this competition.
The forward pack is star-studded, bro.
They just haven't connected well yet. There's something there. I'm not giving up on the Knights.
No way. But if they keep losing games or just, you know, they lost their first two games, they could have easily lost this game as well.
Yeah, they needed the win bad.
Yeah.
Storm.
Win's a win.
I'm not worried about the Storm. No Hughes, no Munster. Are you concerned about Munster? All the reports are that money could be spent in an extended period of time.
Really?
Yeah, the osteopubis. You know more than me. Well, no.
Is it osteopubis, is it?
Yeah, I think it's the osteopubis. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah, and that's very tricky. So they thought it was groin originally, but I think it's osteopubis.
A lot of AFL players get that, so you'd get some good advice down there.
Yeah, you would too. In Melbourne. That's a good shout.
Anyway.
Yep.
All good right. Good footy. Quality football. Love it, boys. Love it.
Except for the last game. That was awful.
You killed me.